you haven't already gotten the message, today, December 1st, marks the first Sunday in the church season of Advent. So some of you are thinking, great, I love this time of year. Some of you are thinking, how did it get to be December already? And the little ones in our households and in our families are probably breaking out the calendars and counting down the days to Christmas. The season of Advent is a season of waiting and a time for reflecting. We look forward, of course, to the celebration of Jesus' birth, an event that happened more than two millennia ago. As followers of the Christ, we also look ahead to the promised second coming of the Messiah, when the world will be restored to its original, perfect state. To truly embrace both means to live in the now and the not yet. Advent is an opportunity to commit anew to faithful living after the example of the Christ child we come to adore, and to embrace him as the source of our hope for this world and for the world to come. It's one reason the scriptures for Advent always include readings from the prophets. They give voice to the hopes of a people waiting for salvation and seeking the light. Our journey to Bethlehem, to kneel before the child beside the shepherds and the magi, to open our hearts to the love and the light he brings, begins today. You may have looked at the Celtic Advent calendar I put in the newsletter last week. One suggestion is that as Advent gets underway, you set up your creche or your nativity set, but place Mary and Joseph at a distance. And as you move through Advent, they move closer to the manger, closer to the event we are all getting ready to celebrate. The stories of Mary and Joseph, of angels and visions, of prophecies and powers, help us to understand why Jesus' birth was such a revelation, which in turn helps us to experience the celebration of Christmas as revelatory in our own lives. So we begin today with a portion of Mary's story known as the Annunciation. That's the Latin term for the announcement from the angel that Mary would be the mother of a very special child, the long-awaited Messiah. The angel tells Mary she has found favor with God. Now, Mary is young, betrothed but not yet married to Joseph. She's grown up in a small town called Nazareth, an impoverished rural community, about an hour's walk from even the nearest marketplace and population center, Sepphoris. Mary is a nobody. But God chooses her for this mission. In fact, God could not complete this mission without Mary. And Mary responds to the angel's odd request with a resounding yes. "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled," she says in our translation this morning. Some versions give her the words, "Let it be to me according to your will." Christian Kuhn, who is pastor of Urban Village Church in Chicago, wrote a blog a few years back in which he shared this story from the children's Christmas pageant. Dozens of children had come for the chance to sing and dance and dress up as the wise men and the shepherds, the sheep and the donkeys and the camels. None of the boys was fighting over the chance to play Joseph because Joseph doesn't get any lines. But then the director asked, "Who wants to play Mary?" Hands shot up, eyes danced. All the little girls started to jump up and down. Every one of them wanted to be Mary because hers is the starring role. And then Kuhn asked this question, "Do you think Mary wanted to be Mary?" Mary seems to be a young woman of great wisdom. She certainly knew there was a penalty for a woman who became pregnant before she was married. It would be scandalous for her family. The wedding she'd been planning for would no longer be a celebration. If she were not stoned to death, Joseph could still refuse to marry her. Her parents could send her away. And how difficult life would be in the first century for an unwed woman with a child. Mary could have told the angel she was too busy with her chores to stop and speak. She could have dismissed the words as words from a crazy man. She could have listened and then politely but firmly refused to take part in God's plan, but she chose instead the road that began with yes and a willingness to travel wherever it might lead her. And I'm reminded of another story about an opportunity and a choice and a journey. Author J.R.R. Tolkien penned his epic stories of dwarves and elves and goblins and hobbits early in the 20th century. At the outset of The Hobbit, we meet Bilbo Baggins, a well-to-do hobbit, considered very respectable because his family never had any adventures or did anything unexpected. And then the wizard Gandalf arrives, followed by 13 dwarves who want Bilbo to accompany them on a quest. They told him their story, their exile from their homeland, of the dragon who lives there now, of their desire to reclaim the land and their home, of the role they wanted Bilbo to play in their journey. Bilbo thinks of all the reasons he should stay at home, his comfortable home and full larder chief among them, but also concerns for his personal safety, his health, and his longevity. But in the end, the call to adventure and opportunity win out. And Bilbo sets out with the dwarves and the wizard on what will be a life-changing, world-shaping journey. Not because of who Bilbo was or is, but rather because he was willing. And his willingness shapes who he will become. As does Mary's willingness shape who she will become and the role she plays in the unfolding story of the Messiah. Her people had waited for hundreds of years for the Christ to be revealed. In the midst of waiting, Mary chose to take an active part in bringing God's kingdom to earth, an expression of her faith, an embrace of her hope. How willingly do you respond to God's calling on your life? Do you pause in your busyness to listen and to look for angel messengers? Do you consider the sometimes surprising tugs at your heart and how you might respond to them? In small ways and in large, God is inviting us to give ourselves to the journey, to fill our waiting with actions that show and share our love for God and for our brothers and sisters. The journey to a deeper life of faith begins with the commitment to a first single step. The destination is unknown. The hope and the promise of Emmanuel means God is with us and God will be with us.